On today's show, the guys are talking about digital footprints and what students can do about making sure theirs is all cleaned up. We also have an East Initiative update and some information about the Conrad Challenge. All of that and more up next on EduTech Guys.
EduTech Guys Radio, radio.edutechguys.com.
The opinions expressed on the site and this program are those of the participants and not intended to and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of any specific educational entity, sponsor, company, state, or government agency.
Hello and welcome to this episode of EduTech Guys Radio. I'm David Henderson.
Hey, and I'm Jeff Madlock.
Welcome to the show. Hope you guys are doing great out there today, whether it's the afternoon or morning or evening, whenever you're listening to us.
Yeah, I hope it's cool and fally.
Yeah, because we're not having that here.
You know, it's not too bad. It hasn't gotten out of the upper 80s. You know, it's tipped into 90, but at night it's really nice.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, my air conditioning doesn't kick on as much anymore.
Yeah, amen to that.
Yeah.
saving those electric bills, man.
But you know, you can feel it, fall's coming. And I don't know if you've noticed this. Have you noticed these mushrooms growing everywhere?
I have not.
Okay, well, yeah, there's these weird white
mushrooms. Maybe only you see the mushrooms.
Oh. That's no, not good. I smell burning feathers, too. What's that mean? No. That's. Hey, listen, check us out on the web at www.edutechguys.com. Heck, just go to Google. I say this every week, and I know you people are doing it. If you'll go out to Google and you'll type in EduTech Guys, you're going to find us out there. We're out there. In fact, we should just pop right up. And if you see our pictures, it'll scare the smut out of you.
It really is
October. Boo.
Ah. I was just going to say, perfect for Halloween.
Hey, you know, we got a Halloween show this year. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
It's going to be very cool. Yeah, we're going to have actual some bats live on the show. I'm just kidding.
Louisville Sluggers.
Yeah. So, you know, we have a great show for you today. We've been discussing some stuff. You know, heck, David, let's just get right into it.
All right. So I'm just going to jump into a thought that I had. All right. Regarding a couple of things. One of our EduTech friends, we've had her on the show several times, Ginger Lumen, shared a post of a graphic regarding sexual
predators
and along those same lines regarding accusations and whether the percentage of false accusations. All right. So that got me to thinking about it turns out that the graphic for that report doesn't accurately represent what the report supposedly says. So there's 1,000 little people pictured on the graphic, and supposedly 2% of all accusations are false. That's fine, except in the graphic, only 2 of the people are marked as false, you know, false accusations. Well, that's 2 out of 1,000, not 2 out of 100. 2% is 2 out of 100. So that kind of got me to thinking about the fact that, so later, there's a follow-up article that
you've gotten into math, so you've lost me there, but go ahead.
Okay, so the person who put it out, her name is Sarah, and I apologize for not knowing how to pronounce her name, but Bolu or something along those lines. She even followed up a post that said, you know, many people have talked about the inaccuracies in the graphic, in the report, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, but she left the data and everything out there anyway. No, if it's wrong and you know it's wrong, then why are you leaving it online? That spurred a thought in my head about what's going on with the whole Kavanaugh situation, okay? Now, I'm not getting into the, you know, he said, she said type thing, but where I am going with this is that part of what's going on with Kavanaugh is they are pulling up letters that he wrote.
Literally physical things about him. Yeah,
like, yeah, yeah.
Was it yearbooks and calendars?
Yes,
and
exactly.
Stuff like
yes.
That?
Yeah. So all
from
this,
the early 80s, right?
Right, right. Yeah. So long before anybody was putting anything online, or at least long before the general public was putting things, you know, quote unquote, online. Well, that got me to thinking about today's student population. You know, when we talk about digital footprints and students in the digital playground and the different things that students are posting now that they don't necessarily understand the implications or even think about the ramifications of what they're posting, how that may play out down the road. So my thinking is that one of the things that we need to teach students is that you're posting this stuff, right? So first of all, I would encourage anybody who works with students, or if you're a student and you happen to be listening to this, look back at the stuff you've posted online. Even if you just posted it a year ago, 2 years ago, do you still feel that way? Is it something you still believe in? Is it something you still think should be out there? And if not, clean it up, get it offline. I realize you can't clean everything off and all that, but seriously, get rid of it. My thing is this, 20 years down the road, 30, 40 years down the road, this is all digital online. So 30 years from now, something that a student posts today could come back to bite them in the butt. Why would you not have them clean that up as they go along? So as you are moving through high school or about to go into college, go back through your digital portfolio, your online presence, and clean up the crap that doesn't apply to you anymore. I'm not saying it's even negative or bad or harassing or anything like that. It could just simply be, I don't think this way anymore, therefore I need to get rid of that.
Okay, in rebuttal.
Come on, hit me with it.
That's some great stuff. You know, it's interesting. My grandfather had told me way back in the early 80s that when you're in a high-profile job, then papers last forever. Microfiche, they can find an article about you anywhere. And that sure. was, you know, how that kind of hung around then.
Okay.
You know, every time your face gets a picture in the wrong place, then the Washington Post would go to the, you know, and look at everything that was ever printed about you. But you're right. Now we're talking about that times a Googleplex.
Right.
Because it's everywhere. And I agree with you completely. You know, it's out there. We should teach them how not to do it. But.
Okay.
It's hard to tell them, to tell these generations now, that you need to take off that picture holding that liquor bottle at a party, or out with your friends at night, or, you know, the bikini pics and all this kind of stuff. You should take those down when they base their lifestyles after people that are doing that and making millions of dollars and are famous and have, you know, millions and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of followers. You know, that's what's interesting is that, you know, you shouldn't do this because look what happened to Brett Kavanaugh. You know, this is why you shouldn't do this. But Ryan Reynolds just bought a liquor company, and his wife just posted a graphic where she's, you know, doing something inappropriate with another man in the kitchen with your liquor bottle on the thing. So how do you, and I'm not,
right.
I'm not
no,
saying,
I,
I'm not
I,
negating
no,
the
that.
Idea, but it's just like, you know,
right.
I mean, you know, you've seen the pictures out me with me out there. They're they're racy. I mean, it's like me covered in dirt from mowing the yard. Whoa. You know, you remember that time, Jeff, we wanted the John Deere came after you and but I
you
see what I'm getting at?
I do.
These kids today look at, they respect the power of entertainment before they respect the power of being nominated for the Supreme Court.
Well, sure, and I totally get that. I mean, you know, as you were talking, one of the first things that pop into my head is the whole you know, like Jake Paul, Logan Paul, you know, and I'll be honest, I can't remember off the top of my head which is which and who did what and all that, but you know, you have these kind of bad boys of YouTube, or at least one of them, and they do stupid stuff, they post stupid stuff, and they get a slap on the wrist for all intents and purposes, gain millions of followers because of it, end up making millions of dollars because of it.
PR is PR.
You're right. How do you
it's no bad PR.
So how do you convince students, how do we convince students that that's actually not the way to go, even though, yes, it is potentially a road to riches and infamy. I'm not going to call it famous, but infamy. When, you know, so they see that, how do we help them understand that that's not the way to go?
I think it's about, and now I'll, you know, I'll jump on board with you because I believe that it's very important. So how do we do it? To me, it's showing the good side of it instead of the bad side of it. Every time, and we talked about this, and there's a lot of great programs out there in schools that talk about, you know, think before you put something on.
Right.
Will it hurt someone's feelings? Will it, you know, there's multiple steps you can go through. What if you even start with the fact that let's spend more time putting stuff out as entrepreneurs, as edupreneurs, as students looking to create a lifestyle for themselves? And then I'm so overwhelmed with that, I don't have time to put this other stuff out. And I think once you built an image, and once you build an image that's a positive image, then you're, or a negative image, you spend all the time in the world trying not to negate that image. So if we start helping students to understand about building a positive image online, then they will do everything they can to protect that positive image as it brings in them more success or more recognition. It's like, hey, I've got to always protect my image.
Right.
And that's it. We have to help students find their voice and find out who they are.
Right.
And promote who they are.
Yep.
And if that's with 10 followers or 10,000 followers, then their job is to make sure that they're always promoting themselves as who they are, which means they think first and foremost, I can't post this. If I post this, it's going to offend those people that follow me. Now, a lot of people will say, well, you know, but freedom of choice and free voice and, you know, freedom of press. But, you know, that's interesting. I follow a lot of people online mm-hmm. who have hundreds of thousands of millions of followers.
Sure.
And they don't post anything that's inappropriate.
Right.
In fact, they sometimes just steer clear of, you know, anything political, which we do. I mean, this just came up as a topic that was something that jogged your memory and made you think about what's going on.
Right. And
it shut down our throat every day.
and we're not getting into the politics side. We're right. actually looking at the, here, you know, pulling up content from, you know, the skeletons in the closet type
yep.
thing.
Yep.
What is being used against, you know, individuals.
Right.
I mean, heck, even his his accuser, Dr. Ford, some of the things she has said and done has been pulled up
yeah.
from her past.
No one's safe anymore.
Right.
And I think you're right. And it's easier now. I mean, it's a Google away.
Oh, it's absolutely easier.
And that's now. Really scary.
And so part of my continued thought about this is, and where sort of I was kind of leaning, you know, now that we've kind of expanded the conversation, so we're ideally helping students find their voice, share their voice. So what happens in a few years down the road, 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road, when that voice we help them find is no longer the voice they want to project?
Sure. And that's where we're back to, you know, teaching them how to change that. Mm-hmm. I mean, think how many people in the history of entertainment and politics have rebranded themselves.
Sure.
Without the internet.
Right.
You know, and so that meant that they had to do it the old-fashioned way, write a book, get in a magazine article or the newspaper, or, you know, take a tour around the country and
right.
show up and speak to people. Now you don't even have to do that. So you're right. Now we're really talking about, it's okay to rebrand yourself. It's okay to have a different opinion.
Right.
And, you know, with technology now, it's very easy to do that. And I think we're starting to see that. Everyone's realizing that marketing is like a beautiful, all-encompassing, everyone should know how to market themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know how to market yourself. You're ready for the job interview. You're ready for the college interview.
Sure.
You're ready to get into a sorority or a fraternity, a business group, you know, anything that you need to do. You've got to market yourself.
Yeah.
And that's something that's, and marketing can change. I mean, look, the Dunkin' Donuts is now Dunkin'.
Right.
I mean, International House of Pancakes is now International right. House of Burgers. So, or they went back.
Well, they did go back. So, you know.
But you know, it's obvious that you can do that because look at Nike. Well, Nike's cut its throat. It's cut its throat this time. Really? Because the stocks don't show that.
Right. Yeah,
so
absolutely.
But you know, I think that we're seeing more and more of our educators realizing that and using that to make sure that they're, you know, teaching that kind of stuff in class. And I think we're all readily available and understanding that we need to change. A lot of schools have started realizing that if they can cut social media out of the school day, it fixes a lot of problems. Mm. And it does. Because we passed notes in the 80s and the 70s, you know,
sure.
You write your note and you pass your note. And that was still a lot of lag. You know, there could be a 2-hour lag in that before someone ever read it.
And that's then, right. Not to mention the high percentage of data interception.
Exactly. You know, did it get to the right person it was supposed to get to?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
See, you know, in real time, that causes arguments and fights in the hallways
sure.
and on the campus. And, you know, distraction. Right. And that's what's interesting about everything that's happening here that I look at it is that unfortunately we've allowed this kind of stuff to become a huge distractions to our everyday life.
It absolutely is.
And I'm talking about this kind of stuff that, and it's always happening, mm-hmm. you know, all the way back to Clarence Thomas, if we just want to look at that. But these distractions distract Americans, distract human beings, distract the world from what they should really be, you know, living. And we get these distractions in the way, and then it creates other distractions like we're talking about now. You know, like, well, I've got to go clean up this and I've got to clean up that. And you never think about that till it happens.
It's right.
Like, oh, maybe they're right.
Well, and by the same token, though, I think we need these sort of, I don't want to call them milestones necessarily, but we need these checkpoints. We need these checkpoints every so often to remind us that, A, your past can come back to haunt you, and B, that you really need to, even at a very young, early age, you need to be very aware of what you're saying, what you're writing, what you're, in this case, you know, these days, tweeting and posting in pics on, you know, Instagram or Snapchat, you know, the videos you put out. You really have to consider the content you're putting out there. And then I'm going to jump all the way back to the beginning of this conversation in terms of not just content that might be questionable, but one of my biggest soapbox pet peeves, whatever you want to call it, is where you have the situation where you have someone who puts forth information, ties it to a graphic, fully admits that the information is not completely fleshed out, and that the graphic that is being, gone viral all over the internet is not quite accurate. Instead of fixing the graphic, fixing the data, you simply put out a message that says, "Yeah, I know it needs work." Now, in her particular case, she did a TED Talk on what was wrong with that. That's fine, but why do you still have the old data out there? Because that's what everybody's pointing to. And maybe if they dig a little bit, then yes, you find the TED Talk where she, you know, addresses those issues. No, get the old data off the web.
Yeah, I agree. That brings us right back to students, and that's right. Called editing yourself.
Exactly. Even later, you know, if I publish a paper, especially if it's research-based, I publish research, and it turns out that the research I did is now, you know, it's been superseded, or now I can understand to a certain respect, depending on what the research is, perhaps its purpose is to serve as the initial research for the further research that was done. Okay, I sort of get that, but I don't know. In my mind, I just think if I had research out there and I knew the research was wrong years later, then it's my responsibility to get the bad research or the inaccurate research off the web, out of the public eye. Just, you know, it's time to put that away. You know, in the old days, they would just not print it anymore.
Right. It just would, you know, be gone.
So,
you know, there's a really cool one that we'd like you to tell us some more information. David and I are by no means experts on using the web for social media, and we do know a lot because we use it very heavily ourselves. But when it comes to some of the things that are happening, really like to find out about, you know, what's going down out there with you. So you're listening to EduTech Guys. We're going to take a quick commercial break, listen to something about the Conrad Challenge, and we'll be right back after this.
The EduTech Guys are a proud media partner for the Conrad Challenge. The Conrad Challenge is inspired by the rich legacy of Apollo 12 astronaut Pete Conrad. Students who participate in the Conrad Challenge, they don't need to learn to think outside the box. There is no box. Ideas can grow beyond any limits imaginable. Student teams develop commercially viable solutions to the world's most complex problems. They learn to be entrepreneurial problem solvers, addressing challenging social, scientific, and societal issues through ingenuity and the building of effective business plans. Students who participate in the challenge maintain their own intellectual property.
groups learn to solve challenges big and small, local and global, scientific and societal, earthbound and beyond. Some students then go on to launch businesses to further develop their inventions. Registration for the Conrad Challenge is currently open for the 2018-2019 Challenge. It closes Friday, October 19th, 2018. For entry, teams of 2 to 5 students, age 13 to 18, are invited to register. Each team must have a coach who can be an educator, a parent, or an adult from an after-school program. Registration and more information is at www.conradchallenge.org. Remember the deadline, October 19th, 2018. Conrad Challenge. Collaborate. Educate. Innovate.
Hi there. I'm Doug Usewell with your East Update. This week's update is from the desk of Teacher of the Year nominee and finalist, Brittany Berry of Helen Tyson Middle School.
I am the East Facilitator at Helen Tyson Middle School. I serve students ranging in age from 11 to 13, so 6th and 7th graders, in a nice public school environment.
This week, Brittany details how her middle school students are working towards solving community hunger with some well-known partners.
A lot of our kids gravitate towards food insecurity projects, I think probably across the state. One, because Arkansas tends to teeter between 49th and 50th in terms of food availability for children and the elderly. So it definitely is a problem. I think it's also something very concrete and something that some of our students more than we would like have experienced in their own lives. So they feel empowered by making a difference there. So my students last year made a connection with Jessica McClard. She's the founder of the Little Free Pantry movement. She's based out of Fayetteville, so really close to us, and she'd just gotten a very large grant through Tyson Foods. And so they visited with her and learned that she had some mapping issues and needs, and so the kids have been working on filling those. But she was also in connection with Johns Hopkins University on some research on to whether or not Little Free Pantries, so a kind of a take what you need, leave what you don't need kind of movement, like Little Free Libraries. But she, because of the nature of them, had no concrete data to back up how much food moves in and out of a pantry, particular trends in time of day, of weather, of all of that. So the students have worked with her and then another local partner to build, using an Arduino, a data logger that can go in the bottom of Little Free Pantries and calculate the weight that in and out of them and how often the door opens and closes. So you would be able to track the time and the weather and the date and whether or not the door was open and whether or not items were placed on or off the scale, to look at how much food on average by weight that people take at one time or leave at one time. So we're looking forward to, we're still kind of working out the kinks. That's kind of how East works, you know, making sure that it's weatherproof and it's reliable and all of that. But we're hoping to kind of enter the final prototyping stages in the next month and be able to provide for her the data that she needs in order to move her movement forward.
If you're interested in the changes East students are making in their community, follow us on social media at The East Initiative. Our music today is Hip Hop Attitude from Sam at Cutter Morningstar. With the East Update, I'm Doug Usewell.
Hey, thanks, Doug, from the East Initiative Update. Welcome to the EduTech Geist East Initiative team. That's very cool.
East is always great. We're looking forward to working with them more in the future. It's going to be awesome. They always give us great stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, and don't forget the Conrad Challenge. Visit them at conradchallenge.org. The last day to sign up is October 19th.
Yeah, and that is coming up very quickly.
Very quickly. So is Halloween. Boo.
Yeah, that's right. So. Well, and one of the really cool things about the Conrad Challenge is they have their grand finale where they announce the winners of the competition that they've got and all that good stuff. That's in April at the Kennedy Space Center.
Yeah, I'm flying a rocket, baby.
Yeah, we're going to be there. So I'm going to have to put the restraints on him.
Yeah, I like him. Rocket man.
So. Hey, but before we get there, we've got a few things coming up really really quickly here.
Hey, October 18th, we're at ARCOT in Little Rock with the Arkansas Convention of Technology. And then on that Saturday, 2 days later, we're in Houston, Texas, doing TCCA.
Yeah.
So those are the big ones coming up. Then at the end of November, you can find us in Colorado Springs at AESA.
Yeah. So we'll be at AESA rolling into December. And then starting off next year, we're going to be at FETC in Orlando, Florida. We've got the ICEL, I-C-E, Illinois conference.
Mm-hmm. Illinois Computer Educators.
Yes. I was trying to remember what that's stood
February.
For. Sorry,
yeah.
But that's in February.
We get a little break for the first of spring unless something comes up, and then boom, we're at Kennedy Space Center and I'm flying a rocket.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, and we're going to be some other stuff with the Conrad Challenge, but I'm going to be there flying a rocket. So,
right.
Hey, listen, we hope you've enjoyed the show. We've had a blast. Remember to tweet out to us. Tell us what we're doing, if it's good, if it's bad. If you want to hear some other stuff, make sure you follow us on Twitter and all social media to keep up with these two dudes, the EduTech guys. Hey, I'm Jeff Madlock.
I'm David Henderson.
We'll catch you next time.
You've been listening to EduTech Guys Radio, radio.edutechguys.com.
The opinions expressed on the site and its programs are those of participants and not intended to and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of any specific educational entity, sponsor, company, state, or government agency.